welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, mother of two. Does that make me an entrepreneur?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I am talking to you about life, relationships, and sex.
I'm a sex entrepreneur.
Well, you know, that could be part of the, I don't know, that could be a definition. Today's show would fall under the life, career, relationships category, but Todd Anderson is here anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not a doctor, but he plays one on television. Dr. Todd Anderson.
Hi. Yay. Thank you.
You are an entrepreneur of sorts, being an actor and a writer creator
I create
of things,
stuff.
Don't you think?
Yeah, sure.
Well, after my divorce, I became an entrepreneur for myself. I had this crazy business idea and I really pursued it for years, and I actually still don't think it's crazy, and I see other big companies like on the verge of creating it, but I just found myself caring more about this purpose and people more than the product thing I was doing. So, but writing and coaching and podcasting and parenting and generally wanting my relationships to be maintained, I found myself in a great state of overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And exhaustion and
happen.
Fuck my lifeness. So one referral led to another, and I found my guest today.
What?
Yes. She is an activation coach, social media strategist, and Reiki healer working with women entrepreneurs and creatives to build fulfilling lives of play and purpose.
What is an activation coach?
Well, you're going to find out. Shh.
I want to know. Shh. Why do I have to wait?
A former branding and social media analyst for Fortune 400 companies, she launched her independent business with Emily in 2014 and now dedicates herself to bringing her highly intuitive, no-nonsense approach to her global client base, helping them gain confidence, overcome overwhelm, and achieve real sustainable results. Or in her words, get shit done. And I would say all of that is true. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Emily Lewis.
Emily!
You get applause around here just for being you.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's awesome.
I am so thrilled to be here.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
And keep your mouth close to that little mic thing there. Okay, yes. Okay. That's all. Yeah. Other than that, you don't have to worry about a thing.
That works.
Yeah, I'll look good.
Kiss it lots.
Yeah, you look good. We're not Skyping here, though. So,
Well, that's good. I'm in my PJs.
She's actually made me like Skype.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I can appreciate Skype.
Skype is the best thing ever. You see people's faces, which means you can tell if they're lying.
Oh, right. I get that. It's just whenever I try to use Skype on shows that I do, it always fails.
It freezes.
Yeah.
Works a lot better than FaceTime, though. I'm just saying.
Oh, well.
I mean,
for me.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
So you coach female entrepreneurs, right? Moms, non-moms, like
exclusively women. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Men are not allowed.
Wow. Jeez.
Wow. Well, yeah. Well, just because I find that the way that men communicate about business versus the way that women communicate about business is very different.
Oh, and one resonates with you more than the other.
Yeah. It just takes a lot more work on my part to get men to acknowledge the emotional component of creating a business.
Interesting.
And I don't want to spend my time.
Right. Well, no, you got it. You got
to
know
break through all the walls of like, yeah, but you know, the profit margins and blah blah blah. And I'm really about, particularly for entrepreneurs, and I know we'll get into sort of what the definition of the entrepreneur is.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah. So you know, in my view, and increasingly with the digital marketplace, entrepreneurs don't have to be sort of the startup culture with the VC funding. It's anybody who is really creative, wants to be their own boss, and has a product or a service that they believe so much in that they're willing to back it up 100% and go forth with it. So I would lump artists and writers and actors into that space if they are creating a brand identity independent of whatever project that they're doing. So if you, as an actor, for example, I mean, it's this LA, right? So, if you're an actor and you just see yourself in relation to the movie that you're in or the commercial that you're doing or whatever, that's not really an entrepreneur. That's a freelancer. But if you are creating a really conscious brand around yourself, which I think most successful artists need to do, then I would put you in the entrepreneur category.
Gotcha.
If you are a solopreneur and you have an online business, whether it's a product-based business or a service-based business, that is an entrepreneur. But increasingly, because of the success of online businesses that are started from people's living rooms, it's expanding the concept of the term entrepreneur,
right?
You know, outside of a sort of VC, very male-driven definition of the word.
Right. Yeah, I read I thought it was a great quote. Nancy Schenker, CEO of the OnSwitch, she said, when a guy owns a business, people think he's Mark Zuckerberg. And a woman says she owns her own business, people think she's stringing beads in her basement.
Totally.
Like, oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
So, and I do find sometimes, and not in my world, I would say that, you know, my boyfriend's really supportive and, you know, my cheerleader. But I do hear women sort of poo-poo their little, you know, business ideas and stuff, in the sense that, like, I can't really take time away from my family to pursue this, or like, this isn't, you know, because it's not monetizing, and things take a long time to monetize. Not valid. Mm. You know,
in fact, even the huge companies, I was just reading Deliver Happiness, Tony Hsieh's book about Zappos. Mm. And, you know, Zappos didn't start making money for like 5 or 6 years.
No way.
Yeah.
No, you know? I mean, way. Really?
Like profit, you know?
Yeah. And like, so, actual profit.
Mm. And you look at, you know, you look at Twitter, what? And Facebook, and a lot of those companies are just starting to actually make profit. So when
I know Facebook was around forever, yeah, never made any money.
Yeah, super successful, time. People pouring tons of money into it, right. You know, but not actually making a profit. So
wow.
I think people are sort of under this false impression that what they see externally as successful is, you know, making somebody millions of dollars that they can put in the bank and pay their bills with, and
wow,
that's not necessarily true.
So would you say that's sort of the biggest issue that people, that women come to you with, is like, I'm not making money, or is it, well, I can't manage my time?
You know, I think there are three main issues that people come with. One is the time, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the time. How do I make the time? How do I prioritize, mm-hmm, the rest of my life with my business? The second one is most definitely money. It's, I don't have any money. I want to make $1 million. How do I do that? You know, and
please,
the idea.
Please, Emily, tell me.
Like, in fact, I was just talking to my barista in my Starbucks this morning, who was like, I want to quit my job, and I just need to, you know, I just need to create an online business and monetize and create some passive income, and I know it's going to work really quickly, and once I get started, it's going to happen. And you know, she was going to do it by selling Amazon affiliate products.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, honey, let's talk. because
before you quit your job.
Yeah, because that's not, it's really fucking hard, mm-hmm, to be an entrepreneur.
This reminds me of that old Steve Martin bit where he says, I can tell you how, through wise investments, how to make $1 million tax-free. First, get $1 million. Now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's the second piece, and then the third really big piece is the fear of failure, which tends to be not unique, but much more prevalent among women than among men.
I think that that's a huge component for all of it. The time issue, let's start with the time issue, okay?
Yeah.
That's when you have, you know, husband, kids, schoolwork, homework, everything, right? Mm-hmm. And even when you don't, you know,
right,
you got to take your cat to the vet, and you got to do all kinds of crap.
Totally.
You know, we have lives, and generally day jobs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Finding that time, not just for the business, but for the self-care and for the care of your relationships.
Yeah.
And I do think that people are, this is not a man versus woman thing here, but I do think that it's much more culturally acceptable for a man to sort of let his relationship slide over, you know, for business, for the sake of business, for the bottom line.
Definitely.
Than you are as a wife and mother, as a girlfriend, you know.
Particularly when you throw in the mother component.
Yeah.
When you add the kids to the mix, it's definitely, it's the woman's job. I mean, there are so many times, not just with my clients, but even with my friends, mm-hmm, where, you know, you get to the weekend and women aren't available because they have to take care of the kids.
Right.
But it's never the guy who's having to figure out how to take care of the kids and who's taking care of the kids while he goes off and hikes or whatever. Like, it's, I mean, depending on the relationship. Like, yes. There are those.
That is different in Todd's household.
Very different in my household.
And that's awesome. Yeah. Although you may not think it awesome.
But I would say, but he has an awesome relationship with his kid because of it. So.
Yeah. So often it's the default position.
Yes.
Is
I would say that
the
is
mom
common.
Is responsible for that time component. And
I know that's how it was for me. You know, I get it. You know, if somebody's working outside the home, right?
Yeah.
They need that weekend time to figure out all the shit they couldn't do because they were at work. You know, we all have that self-care piece to take care of. But if you're going to start a business, guess what your weekend time is going to be about, right?
Especially if you have male or female, I think. If you have another job, whether that's taking care of the kids or an actual job that's making you money, and you start your own small business, then you're talking about maintaining your relationships. You have no time for that.
Right.
So how do you make that work? I mean, it's like you're really sacrificing.
Tell us, Emily, how the hell do we make it work?
Well, I want to go back to one thing.
Because I really want to start a happy ending massage business. But I'm worried about the overhead and everything like that. So tell me how to make it happen.
Okay. Well, let me go back a little bit to touch on something else first.
She said touch.
I know. And as soon as I said that, I was like, oh, shit. But you know, one of the challenges is when you are creating your own business and you happen to be creating that business from home as opposed to in a co-working space or going to an office.
Interesting.
That creates a challenge because people don't think you're doing anything if you're not actually going to an office.
Right.
So you have to be really clear about your boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that is something most importantly to discuss with your spouse or your boyfriend, you know, girlfriend, whatever. And block out the hours of work and make them non-negotiable. So whether you are only working part-time or you're a stay-at-home mom and so your, you know, work hours are really open, block out from 10 to 2 are my office hours, and I don't take personal phone calls and I don't check my email and I don't have, you know, lunch appointments during those times, because that is when you are getting your work done. And if you do have a full-time job, then it's creating that time, either waking up extra early or taking an hour after work or a block of time on the weekend to really be dedicated and have that open communication with your family so that they know that that's uninterrupted time. And if you can explain the reasons for it, particularly for your kids. If you can bring your kids into the process and what you're working towards and make them part of that success trajectory, then
they can get excited for you.
They can get excited for it. And then they're not feeling like, you know, they're being abandoned.
Right.
As you're going off and closing the door to wherever it is, your closet, your bedroom, your living room, wherever.
I'm really grateful that I do have certain days without my kids. I mean, that on one hand is something I'll never reconcile, you know, having lost partial custody of my kids, of course, because of the divorce. But at the same time, being in a position where post-marriage I have to create a business, I actually have a little bit of time and space to do so, because I have to block out time where I work and fuck around. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I especially working on this show, like I have to like think, I have ideas, and then I have to get up and I got to walk around. I got to go to the bathroom. I have a whole thing.
Well,
that's
really important
to do. And if somebody else was home, they would think I wasn't working.
Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm just moving while I think, you know, like I just have to, you know, and I'm going to take a break over here and I'm going to do this. But I'm oddly disciplined about it. I know it takes as much time as I have.
Well,
like, it's weird.
It's funny because even in a quote real job, when there's creativity involved, you know, I used to be a television writer, and in the writer's room, there would be blocks of time where all the writers would sit around and play with slinkies and throw darts.
Isn't that why you become a television writer?
It's the kind of craft services.
Because you want to play Operation.
So the idea, but I remember when I first, was tasked with like going and buying toys for the writer's room, I was like, what?
Right.
But when you embrace the idea that bringing some play into your process is really necessary mm-hmm. in order to be more productive and get the shit done that you need to get
done. I feel
done.
So smart.
Yes. Go walk around. Go run
around.
I'm
just going to go with it. Like, I got this shit down.
So. Yeah, yeah.
That happens to me a lot when I'm writing.
Oh, I bet.
I stop and play with
around.
Myself.
Thank you, Todd.
That increases
true.
That is another
level.
Episode.
I'm
yes.
bored.
Yes. That's focal point.
Another episode.
Brings you down to your center. Great.
Great. Todd's always
getting
every 4
so
minutes,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just lashing out because I still don't know what an activation coach is.
Oh, well, I will tell you what an activation coach is. My. Getting feisty over there.
I know.
So an activation coach is a coach that helps you get activated. Get shit done.
Get your stuff done.
Yeah.
Go from
idea, dream, conceptualization into, okay, actually, what do we need to do tangibly to go from, I want to create a business or I want to quit my job mm-hmm. into what needs to be put in place.
So you create like
so
a
in
pragmatic
some ways,
list
I am
of
an activation coach
do.
In some ways.
Two, yeah.
Like you want to work toward a relationship, let's look what you're going to do.
Yeah, and the reason, one of the reasons that I call myself an activation coach is because I wanted to step out of the strictly business coach or strictly life coach space mm-hmm. Because I don't believe that it's possible to separate
the two.
And so, as you're creating the life that you want, in which your business and your form of financial, income is a critical part of it. Mm-hmm. You need to have your business or your job aligned with the rest of your life in terms of what you're wanting to accomplish in your life and for your relationships and that kind of stuff. And in terms of, I want to go back to the time management thing, because I think that's a really, in addition to having the strong boundaries and having clear communication with your family and friends around mm-hmm. those boundaries, the other thing is to ask for help. So whether that's
that's kind of difficult.
Whether
to do
that's doing whether that's doing bartering work, mm-hmm. if you're frequently my clients are overwhelmed by social media, so they feel like they have to be on every single platform, and they get on Facebook and 3 hours later they've seen every single cat video on the mm-hmm. planet and they haven't done any work.
Yes.
And then they have to go pick up their kids from school, and then they feel like a failure.
Right.
So it just becomes a spiral downward. And you can get help with your social media. A couple hours, an hour a week, can be a huge difference. And you can get a social media assistant or a virtual assistant to do your paperwork mm-hmm. For not much money. And and when you really weigh your time versus your money, that can be an incredibly valuable investment.
It's an incredible relief to have somebody handle. I now have 5 hours a month of a virtual assistant. 5 hours a month. That's mm-hmm. it. And it's changed everything for me. Well, actually, kind of gave me time. I've actually been working out for 5 months, and I'm doing a triathlon on Sunday.
Insane.
And I would not have had I never would have been able to create the mental space in my life to work and to do that and to,
And I bet it created more than 5 hours worth of mental space and productivity for you.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, completely. Because again, you don't get sucked into the wormhole of watching every cat video or even reading every article. What happens is I'm looking for interesting things for people, and then I end up reading every single article on the interweb and my life is gone.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how much I know. I've got nothing done now.
Yeah.
I just know everything that HuffPost thinks or whatever, and it doesn't do me much good.
Exactly.
So before we run out of time, I want to talk about the fear factor.
Yes.
Yes. Because this is a big deal. You were saying that women really fear failure. And I've certainly lived through this.
Particularly.
Theoretically have already failed many times.
For two reasons. One, I think particularly if you do have a family and somebody else is the breadwinner, or you're walking away from your own breadwinning position, mm-hmm. There is a lot of pressure to succeed and succeed quickly to justify the faith that your spouse has put into your dreams, right?
Right.
So,
right. You got one shot.
You got one shot, and it needs to be validated. And it, and additionally, there's so much external pressure around proving that your non-conventional choice has a financial, financially positive outcome to it. Like,
right.
It's much more demanding to go off and create your entrepreneur career than to take a shit job and
right.
work as, you know,
be underemployed.
Be underemployed. Like, people accept underemployment without question.
That's
people
true.
Don't accept you going off and trying to create your own
something.
Dreams.
Yeah.
So that external pressure can become really crippling. And one of the best ways around it is to really document every single win.
Oh.
So
I like that.
Women and men really kind of look at these big goals, you know, like I need to be making enough money to quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to be making $1 million or whatever. For
right.
some reason, that $1 million thing is like a huge goal that's supposedly easily achievable.
For me, it's 1 billion.
1 billion. Yeah. 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 So if you have that kind of
like
a big goal, or launch my new project, or mm-hmm. create my first line of, you know, XYZ product.
Right.
And that is a great goal to have long term.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only focused on that goal, then you're dismissing all of the steps that it takes to get from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
And all you can see is how far you have to go and how you have not achieved it yet.
Right.
So if you break down your process into little achievements, and, you know, again, when I was a writer, there's a statement, just write 5 pages a day.
Right.
5 pages a day. It can take you 20 minutes
mm-hmm. or 20 hours.
Or it can take 20 hours, right. But as long as you can check off that box of, like, I wrote 5 pages a day mm-hmm. and you do it every day, you do end up having a script at the end or a book at the end or whatever. And the same thing can be done when you're designing a project line.
I'm going to make 3 phone calls tomorrow.
Exactly.
Or I'm
exactly.
going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
those
and,
are wins if
yeah.
they even answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And also limit yourself to 3 things a day. So on your to-do list, and women are notorious for having these, like, you know, 30,000 item to-do lists.
Mm.
But pick 3 things on your to-do list. And if, you know, and then attempt to accomplish those 3 things
mm-hmm.
in your day.
Okay.
And then you can quit in the day. You know, then you can say this day has been successful. Or if you're on a momentum and those 3 things only ended up taking 45 minutes and you blocked out 2 hours, then pick another 3 things. But the important thing is to try to circumvent all the opportunities for your lizard brain to pop in and say you're a failure because you haven't made your $1 billion yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or
your lizard brain.
Yeah, or you haven't finished your book yet, or, you know. So
is there a positive spin on failure, maybe? Like, failure's okay. Like, there's this musician named Martin Sexton who I really mm-hmm. like, and he has a song called Failure, and the chorus is Thank God for Failure. Because I tried to do these things, it didn't work out. But if I hadn't tried to do these things and they didn't work out, I wouldn't have been led to these other places where
yes.
I found happiness.
Yes. I think, you know, embracing failure is a really common catchphrase now. And I think it can be misunderstood. And it doesn't really work as effectively for women because they can't actually embrace the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can mouth it.
Sure.
But they don't really believe it internally.
Right.
So the more you say, well, you know, failure's good, if you can't get to a headspace where you can truly believe that, sort of a roundabout way to get to that same idea is to extend your fear sentence out to its full conclusion. So you know, first identifying what your fear really is, whether it's I'm going to run out of money or my husband's going to leave me or my, you know, parents are going to be ashamed of me or whatever. Most people stop there. And then they're like, and therefore I'm going to die and I shouldn't do this XYB project. But if you take it out and you're like, so my husband's going to leave me. Why? Well, because I haven't made enough money. Okay, why is he going to leave you? Because you haven't made enough money. Well, because he's concerned.
He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, that's an option too, because, you know, if you are pursuing a goal and you're
unsupported.
And you're unsupported, that's a red flag.
Right.
And then you have a choice of like, okay, is the relationship more important than my goals and dreams? And if it is, awesome, you know that. And then, you know, mm-hmm. and then you, if you need to walk away, you need to walk away because you've prioritized.
It all becomes grist for the mill.
Right. Right. But you can also get to the point where you're like, you know what? Fuck him or her or whatever. Like, this has really clarified the limitations to this relationship. Mm-hmm. And
so
I
do you feel like
myself.
You sort of, instead of saying failure is good, you sort of go the route of let's not call all of this failure.
Yeah.
Like let's maybe like if you're failing until you succeed, then you're always fail. You know, then you're
let's
always
just
failing.
Take
so
the word
you want
failure
to,
out of it right. and just do
right. There's
there
no
go.
Such thing
get
as a failure
done,
who
people.
Keeps trying.
Yeah, right. yeah,
no
yeah exactly,
okay.
exactly. Just
trying.
Do
right.
And then you'll have done.
Right.
Well, and failure isn't a part of the equation.
Yeah. I mean, when I had a product that I was pursuing that I was creating and I made, you know, I got prototypes made and like the whole deal, you know, I was like bazillions of dollars into it and eventually did come to a point where it was a money issue and a passion issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's not really technically dead yet. But I'm just not into it right now. And
that's not
and
a
actually
failure.
And no, it's actually not when you think about it, like the none of it actually failed yet. It did it just is kind of in limbo. And I just have to decide if I want to pick up the ball or not.
Right.
But
you're allowed to no longer be interested in something too.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that's really scary too, is just sort of like you don't want to feel flaky. You know,
right.
I mean, honestly, there is. I could have really taken that on of like, yeah, I know. I was really excited about this for like 4 years and now I'm done.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's that non-conventional approach. It's really owning yourself and your growth and your process and who you are and who you can be and the fact that.
And
you
which
know,
mountain do you want to climb?
Right. And God forbid you should not be exactly the same person you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You know, I think embracing that ability to just. Do and be able to say you've done one of the most soul crushing things I think people can suffer through is the lack of an answer to what if.
Yeah, you don't want
to
have that.
So if you've spent your whole life only wondering about taking a leap, whether that leap is into a relationship or into a business proposition or whatever,
or moving to Paris one way,
or moving to Paris,
which is a great lead-in.
Segue.
Let's talk about that. So you have made kind of a crazy decision. You have to tell us about it before we end so that we can all like wish you well and possibly hear about it when if you ever come back.
I will definitely come back to visit. I've got friends here. So
okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So tell us you're taking a big leap without a net. Right?
I am taking a big leap without a net. I am moving to Paris in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And you decided this.
About 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa.
Right? Just
that's
out
a fast
of the blue.
Turnaround.
I get an email.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Paris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I spent my 20s traveling and living abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to LA to pursue the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
And had successes in that. And then began coaching and really love this more. And, you know, there are so many golden handcuffs in life, and I actually am lucky, and well, I'm perceiving it as lucky enough. Like, I'm not in a relationship right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
and I have a cat.
Somebody who perceives this as a lucky thing.
Well, what that
so
means,
refreshing.
What that means is I can literally get up
and do whatever
today,
the hell you want.
Buy a fucking plane ticket and go. There's no, I don't have to check in with anybody else or make arrangements for other people. I only have to make arrangements for myself. And I had kind of an aha moment when I was up in Portland at the World Domination Summit, which is this great annual convention of unconventional thinkers.
Yes.
It's like adventurers and travelers and people who are really into giving and in community. It's Chris Gilboa's convention event. So I was up there and around a bunch of other people who are doing crazy things, and I really encourage my clients to do crazy things. And and so I finally was like, you know, what the fuck? Why not? And there was not enough reason for why not anymore. It was really, it came down to money and really, and, you know, and friends here. And the nice thing about the 21st century is that it's
There's
really
Skype.
Easy to stay in touch with people. Yeah.
We're
know?
Back to Skype.
So, and this is Los Angeles, which means I never see my friends anyway, because we all live in different areas and nobody has good parking. So, you know,
it's so LA.
That is so LA. Fucking true.
So you know, so
and if you have to get there by the 405, forget it. You're never seeing each other.
Nope.
No. Right? My friends in Irvine might as well live in Texas.
So I will most likely see my friends more via FaceTime from Paris. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to Paris for a bit, and then I'm going to go up to Scandinavia, and then it's TBD. And I have a business model that allows me to work from
wherever you
any
are.
Any place that has Wi-Fi. So
fantastic.
Yeah, well, so I encourage everybody to do it.
Excited for you.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yes, good luck with that. And so in the meantime,
yes.
Where do we find you?
You can find me on withemilylewis.com. And if you go to that website and you click on the Play Plus Ground tab, you can sign up for my newsletter and get a bunch of free stuff, including a daily clarity action planner that can help you really focus on those three tasks each day that you want to do, and on, you know, the things that acknowledge your wins, et cetera. So,
I love that. Yeah. We love free stuff.
Yeah.
Yay.
I like free stuff.
You maybe should get the daily planner thingy.
I think I should.
Yeah. I think you should. Awesome. So Todd, where will you be?
You can watch You're the Worst on FXX starting September 9th.
Yay,
watch
FXX!
It every week. Very and exciting. By the end of the season, you will have seen me do absolutely insane things.
Oh, love so it. Excited. I can't wait. Yay.
You can find me on Facebook as Sophie Venable. And if you are on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe, because that would make me feel popular.
Do it.
My book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I would like to thank the good people here at Sideshow Network. Thank you both for being here, lovely people.
My pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.